Take note of this little statement. The Lord Jesus was all law. The law was in his heart. He was conformed to the perfect will of God in every detail. And every detail was written of him. Someone said he was a living transcription of the law of God. He's the man of Psalm 1, the blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and who delighteth in the law of God day and night. Christ is the lawgiver at Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments, he delighted in every one of them. Christ was the law keeper at his baptism, and he said, "Suffer it to be so now, that I might fulfill all righteousness." Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel, to give you God's way of salvation from the Holy Scriptures of truth. We believe the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. This is the very source of our truth. May God minister to your heart today as we open the Scriptures and as we speak His holy word. We're back to part two on Jesus fulfilling the law. That is, that he kept the law of God in every detail, that he might be an obedient servant and provide a perfect righteousness for each one of his people. And we have that righteousness to our account by the imputed righteousness of Christ, given to us, reckoned to our account, that we may have a standing with God. So we'll look at that today in Psalm 40. Firstly, what does a Free Presbyterian believe about the new birth experience? Well, let me give you a banner heading for this. Church members must be born again. All Free Presbyterians must profess to be born again and show their new life in Christ before they apply for membership in our churches. The Church of the Lord Jesus is made up of all those who personally profess faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. That a member of the church must be born again is not the rule of the church, but it's by its own decrees. It is the plain teaching of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. It was to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that the Lord spoke those famous and life-changing words. If you read John chapter 3, you cannot miss the point that we must be born again, or that no man can enter heaven except he is born again. The new birth is a miracle. The new birth experience is the work of the Holy Spirit acting directly upon men's hearts, converting them from rebellion against God to receiving God's Son by faith, the Lord Jesus as head and king of their lives. When God regenerates our hearts, he gives us spiritual life. This is absolutely necessary, as by nature, man is dead to God and dead to heavenly things. He cannot comprehend them, for they are spiritually discerned. It is like a fish brought out of water. It could not function, or like a rodent when the light is turned on. Jesus said that evil men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. So, because all men are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, every man and woman needs the miracle of God's life-giving Spirit, that they may live unto God. God works directly upon the human heart. This miracle happens, and a miracle it is, for no man can bestow it, when the Holy Spirit, by the direct operation of his sovereign power, acts directly upon the human heart. There is no other agent. A preacher cannot create it. A priest cannot bestow it. A church ceremony cannot transmit it. We are all dependent upon the sovereign moving of God's Spirit to convert men's souls. In John's Gospel chapter 3, the Lord Jesus used the illustration of the wind. that suddenly blows out of nowhere. The wind comes and goes, but we cannot tell what stirred it up nor what calmed it down. As man has no control over the wind, likewise man has no control over the operation of the Holy Spirit. God moves as he will in convicting sinners, converting them and drawing them by faith to trust the Savior. God sometimes is pleased to convert whole families. All are marvelously saved. In other family units, just a husband is saved, or maybe a wife. Some are converted in churches, some in their homes, some in evangelistic campaigns, others in personal reading of the Bible. Some are saved within long-standing Christian families, others from out of families who are drug dealers or alcoholics. You see, God is sovereign in whom he saves and in how and when he saves them. By the new birth experience, God breathes life into the hearts of sinners. With new hearts and new natures, born-again souls can begin to please God, serving him out of faith and love. They bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. They walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. When you are born again, you will know it. They know they are made to be sons of God, for they are led by the Spirit of God. They have an unction from the Holy One and know that they have been born again. They also love the brethren, God's born-again children. This is a true mark of the new birth in our souls. For the Lord said, "So shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye love one another." If you have been born again and you're walking in the Spirit, you will be welcome at any Free Presbyterian church. You will be encouraged to grow in the Lord and bring forth much fruit to the Father's glory. Send me an email today or a letter and tell me if you have been born again. This is the profession of true Christians. We are born again, members of the church, and we praise God, ready for heaven, because we shall see the King in his kingdom. May the Lord bless you today through his precious word. And do you see how the gospel in the Old Testament is the same as in the New Testament? Do you see how you need to look to Jesus only to have your sins forgiven? There's no other way. There's no other sacrifice. There's no other payment plan. And the years of Old Testament sacrifices, they made Israel to be blood conscious. Yes, they were a blood conscious people. And it prepared the way that they would accept the message of atonement by a Redeemer, by a sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And this is what John the Baptist preached. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so there is no altar now. There's no altar in this church. We don't even call this table an altar. This is a table. It's wooden. It could be metal. It could be made of anything. We do not have an altar in a Christian gospel church. There's no sacrifice here. On a communion Sunday when we dispense the bread and wine, there is no sacrifice. But it is pointing to the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Indeed, Hebrews 12 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you doing that today? Now, if you want peace with God, if you want to be set free from the guilt of sin and the shame of sin, here's the answer. Here's the remedy. And there's no other way. God's way of sacrifice through Jesus, the one Redeemer of his people. We move then to God's way of salvation. Now, I've only got 5 minutes, so I'm going to be quick here. God's will all about salvation. I delight to do thy will. This was God's way of saving his people. God's way. Now, we have to buy into that. You compare the religions of the world, and there are many ways that are trumped up as the way to God. Many ideas, many imaginative thoughts on how a man can approach God and be accepted. And you have every idea under the sun. John Calvin said that man's heart is a factory of idols. A factory of idols. He can't make enough of them. He's never satisfied with what he's got. He's got to make more. New ways to God. But God has planned one way. So to outline it, I would simply put it this way. You have here in this text the fact of salvation, God's way. Then there's the plan of salvation. It's the way of Calvary. God designed it. God designed it. God sovereignly programmed it, brought it about. And it's his provision. God has provided a way for you to be made right with God by giving his son. That poor news reporter in Iraq who was beheaded by ISIS this week, there was a ransom demanded. The figure I read was $132 million. It was denied. Although I heard later his family was making some efforts to try and come up with some ransom. But he was killed and slaughtered by ISIS before a ransom was paid. In our redemption, a ransom also was demanded. A payment that we would be made right with God. And that brings me back to that scene of Isaac slaying Abram slaying Isaac, where he took that knife and was ready to plunge it into the heart of his own beloved, his only beloved son. And the moment that he lifted the knife, God spoke and said, I have provided a sacrifice. And Abram heard in the bushes the rattling of the ram that was caught with his horns. And it tells you right there, God provided that lamb, that ram. God provided a sacrifice. Isaac need not die and did not die, but the ram was offered in his place. Do you know who the provision was in your place and in my place? It wasn't a woolly sheep. It wasn't the blood of bulls or goats or calves or any other. It demanded the payment God in his infinite holy justice demanded was the death, the blood of his own Son. And he was God's provision. God sent him. God made him a body. And God arranged it that he would die on that cruel cross for you and me. And Jesus delighted in doing the Father's will. How silly to try and find another way to God. It's like trying to build a bridge when there's already a bridge built. You spend all your life trying to weave a little bridge, and the bridge is already there. There's one already made. And there are many people trying to make their own bridge to heaven by some other means, and God has already provided a way. And then it's accomplished. And Jesus was determined that he would finish the way of salvation. In 1859, there was a man called Brownlow North who was an evangelist in Northern Ireland, where I'm from. And in that year, God converted thousands and thousands of people to Christ. Brownlow North was the son of an Anglican minister and the grandson of an Anglican minister, but he himself was not converted until he was 44 years old. But prior to that, he lived an ungodly life. The Lord marvelously saved him. During that year, 1859, he was in the north of Scotland preaching in a church in the city of Aberdeen. And when he was preparing to go into that pulpit, someone handed a note to him. And he began to read that. And he said, "I dare you to preach after reading this note." And so he read the note, and it listed many of his sins. He said, "I knew you when you were in Manchester, an ungodly man. And I knew you when you were in Paris, living in vice. I know much of your wicked life. And I dare you to go into the pulpit and preach with all that I know about your past sins." And of course, that man thought the meeting would be over. But Brownlow North went into the pulpit. And instead of hiding the facts, he read out the letter word for word to the whole congregation. And he said, "People, all of this in the letter is true and much more. But one day I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee.' And I was washed and cleansed from every one of my sins. And I'm here to preach the gospel to you tonight." Well, that was a most unusual meeting. There were many, many tears and people broken over their sin. And God came down to bless in a marvelous way. Men and women, this is an amazing gospel that we can preach today. It's a gospel of liberty. It's not a gospel of bondage. It is true what Romans 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus," because Jesus accomplished the atoning work at Calvary required by the Father. God demanded it, and Jesus obeyed the Father, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might purchase your salvation. That brings me to my last heading and point in these verses, verse 8, and there's a little statement here that I looked at and I wondered, what has this to do with it? But you will see here God's way of satisfaction. And it says, "I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Take note of this little statement. The Lord Jesus was all law. The law was in his heart. He was conformed to the perfect will of God in every detail. And every detail was written of him. Someone said he was a living transcription of the law of God. He's the man of Psalm 1, the blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and who delighteth in the law of God day and night. Christ is the lawgiver at Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments, he delighted in every one of them. Christ was the law keeper at his baptism, and he said, "Suffer it to be so now, that I might fulfill all righteousness." Now, this is Jesus, the man of Galilee, the man who was the friend of sinners, but he was law personified. And of course, at the cross, he was the law satisfier. He didn't hide anything. He didn't run from anything. He didn't cover up anything. But every demand of the law and every accusation of the law was settled at the cross when Jesus died. And now you might say, "I have heard that over and over. Would you now tell me something new?" Well, did you know that the death of Jesus was the basis of all righteousness? I see the connection. I've looked at verse 8 and verse 9, and here's what I've seen. And I've got to try and understand this. Jesus said, "Thy law's within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation." Now, if I'm going to be a Christ-like preacher, I need to preach righteousness to you. And many say, "Well, that's just simply the Ten Commandments. Be good, be kind, don't tell lies, don't steal, so on. Be good, righteousness." No, there's more to this. Jesus was the law satisfier. He fulfilled all righteousness that he might give to you the gift of his righteousness, all his perfections, all his law keeping. You see, Jesus just wasn't one sent from heaven to do wonderful things. He had to keep the law for me and you. He had to, in his flesh, obey every commandment and fulfill all righteousness. And when he became the sin bearer on the cross, he had to bear all the weight, all the curse, all the wrath of God against sin, which the law of God demanded. And God's holiness was ablaze with fire and wrath against God's Son. And Jesus in his own body endured the cross that he might give to you his righteousness. Now, by animal sacrifices, the fire consumed the sacrifice. They were just ashes remaining. But when Jesus died on the cross, the sacrifice put the fire out. And there is no more wrath for you or me if the Lord is your Savior. His work is completed. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Who is he that lays any charge against God's elect? It is Christ that died. And by his death, he changes it all. And so no matter what letter appears recording your past sins or mine, the blood of Jesus cleanses us and makes us whole. We are washed whiter than the snow. Because what Jesus paid on the cross is enough. He satisfied totally, absolutely, eternally what God demanded. Now, will you say that with me? Let me tell you, this is the most liberating truth to rejoice in. What Jesus did on the cross was enough. And if you say that to your own heart in your moments of doubt, when the devil attempts and attacks and would cause you to doubt your standing with God or your peace with God, here's the answer. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. I need no more. God demands no more. It is settled. And so we sing, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our program today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Just a couple of questions here. What is righteousness? Righteousness simply means what is right in God's sight. God is holy in his character. He cannot turn to the right or the left. He is always at the 12 o'clock noon position. He is perfect righteousness. And his law is holy. His word is holy. His demands are absolute perfection. Now, did Jesus work righteousness? The absolute answer is yes. That's why he came into this world, to live the life that we could not live and to die the death that we ought to have died. The Lord Jesus, all of his life, kept the law of God, the Ten Commandments and the revelation of God's truth and word. Jesus kept everything perfectly. He was that righteous worker, and he suffered. He gave himself to work righteousness in a perfect manner because he was the Redeemer and Savior of his people. Now, how do we get this righteousness to our account? Well, we simply come as an empty sinner and we say, Lord, I have no righteousness. I am all sin. All my attempts at goodness are imperfect and rags, that I need a perfect righteousness. I need the very standard and the perfect work of the Lord Jesus to my account. And this is the gift of the gospel. God gives to men what Jesus earned and takes the righteousness of his Son and puts it upon those that believe on him, call upon him for salvation. And so the need is to call on the Lord and ask him to give you that perfect righteousness, that you will be saved from sin and made right with God, right in God's sight, so that you're justified, declared righteous, so that you can say that God deals with me just as if I have never sinned. And that becomes now the comfort, the position of the Christian. If I can be of any personal help on that, give me a call. The announcements are coming up. You've been listening to... This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.